But my go-to is a sour cream glazed.
Well, you like the crullers. Might as well just eat raw dough. I had my first one today, Craig. No joke. I took a bite, threw it out. It was the worst thing, worst donut I've ever had. I couldn't believe it.
Well, it might have been raw. That's okay. But, I mean, like, I got to tell you, too, this is how bad I am with the sour cream glazed. I'll see it in a box, usually at a junior hockey rink. I go over, and I take half. And I come and test to see if anybody took the other half. If they haven't, then I go for the other half. Right, and I always laugh. I go, "Why didn't I just take the whole thing?" But you'd be surprised how many times I've done a favor for the person that took the other half because they only wanted a half as well. They didn't cut it in half, though.
Jeez, you got a lot going on over there. A lot going on. You know, Craig, you look at a team like Toronto's been rolling along really well and has faced some adversity, obviously, with injuries, especially on the back end. But now Austin Matthews is out, you know, let's just call it a month, you know, the knees or whatever it takes. How do you, does it change anything as a GM as far as that, or does it actually give other guys maybe an opportunity to get a little more ice time and prepare them for a stretch run?
Yeah, well, you know, you look at the Leafs this year, they had those injuries to, you know, Muzzin left early and then TJ Brody and Morgan Riley. And, you know, it did give players other players opportunities. You know, they found out a lot about Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, who now have become really important members of that blue line. And, you know, even Justin Hall really found his game, and Giordano showed that he's capable of doing more when required. So, you know, that opportunity did exist. And most importantly, the players showed, you know, not only the teammates and the coaching staff, they showed Cal Dubas, wait a second here, you know, sometimes we're looking outside, sometimes the solutions are right in front of us, and given opportunity, players can take advantage of that. When it comes to Austin Matthews or star players, superstar players, there's simply no replacing them. There's simply no opportunity, despite players scaling up the lineup, getting more ice time, they're going to do what Austin Matthews does. I mean, it just can't happen. It never has. It never will. Can you navigate through it? Can you manage through the period of time you're without him? Yeah, you can. But replacing a player of any player of the stature of Austin Matthews is impossible. And good teams don't rely on one player, and good teams don't fall apart at the absence of one player. But it's really, really hard and difficult for any one player, no matter how much opportunity they get, to go in and contribute in the manner that superstar players, Matthews, I mean, you look at Connor McDavid when he's out of a lineup, or Leon Draisaitl. You put another player in the lineup, and it's just another player in the lineup. That's what it is. And it's so difficult. And that's why, if you looked at this injury to Matthews right now, you know, it may be a blessing. You know, and you got the All-Star break, you got your own team break. You know, you don't miss as many games in a 10-day span as you would if you were playing. So, and it gives them a chance to maybe, you know, rest up, heal up a couple of other ailments. And so that would be the blessing. And, you know, as a manager, I think the managers have, you know, they have the medical information, the progress reports daily. So he'll know, you know, ahead of March 3rd, 5 weeks from now at the trading deadline, where Austin is or any other player, and then he can act accordingly. But if it's 3 weeks or it's a month, you know, I don't think that puts the Toronto Maple Leafs at any type of peril.
Especially when, you know, they got some bye week time in there. You know, the thing it might cost them maybe is home ice advantage, is the race between them and Tampa Bay. That seems to be the one key race in the Atlantic Division anyway. I don't think anybody's catching Boston. But, Craig, you're the New York Islanders, and you have no goals in the third period in your last 11 games. You've only scored 18 goals total in your last 11 games. I don't see your team with a bunch of guys who are just, you know, underachieving. I don't think they have enough dynamic offensive players. Is it time for a significant change there, and do you think they'll do it at the deadline? Will they ship some guys out if they can?
Here's what I would say, Jason. You know, I don't think it's about significant change. I think it's about change that gets you better results. You know, we know that they have a really good goaltender in Sorokin, and, you know, good. We don't know what's going to happen with Barbov. Their blue line's really solid, but you can't score. And until they get better scores and better offensive players in there, it's not going to change. So if you want to just keep, you know, moving along this path, maybe in the playoffs, maybe not in the playoffs, maybe get on a great run, you know, players get hot, you know, I don't think that that's where you want to be. So I would say that, you know, Lou Lamoriello, who looks at a team and understands what the strengths are and what the weaknesses are, you know, has to make a move. And, you know, you got to make a move for the future of the team. You got to make a move that improves your lot in life. Because the Islanders right now, you know, we knew that they went to two conference finals. Then they fall off last year. Scoring was a problem last year. I mean, there was a couple other things. Scoring now is a problem. If you don't fix your scoring, I don't know how else you can fix it if you're not looking to make changes. And as big or as significant as you want them to be, that's all got to be part of the evaluation. But to me, if they want to become better and they want to move up into the upper echelon of teams in the Eastern Conference, they have to make changes. And trust me, if you can do it tomorrow, I'd do it tomorrow. Not so easy, as we all know, but I think Lou Lamoriello has it. For me, it's clear as clear can be that they need some changes and they need to add some offensive players.
I wouldn't wish the situation on Max Pacioretty on the person I just test the most in the world. Back-to-back injuries like that on his heel isn't great. So, you know, obviously he's going to be out for a bit. Where would you move, or what would you do next if you're the Hurricanes, as far as bringing in maybe a final piece for one of the top teams in the East?
Well, and I agree with you, Jason, on one of the top teams in the East and the way they play. So, you know, you look at what they did last year in the offseason, acquiring Brett Burns and Max Pacioretty. And then Max had his unfortunate Achilles heel, and then he re-injured it. You know, I don't know if you know Mike Soroka. You know, he's from Calgary, the first-round draft pick of the Atlanta Braves. He tore his Achilles heel, and then, you know, rehab that came back and tore it again. And, you know, he's trying to find his way again. And, you know, so it's something that we've seen happen, and it is. I'm with you. You wouldn't wish that on anybody. But, you know, is there a player out there like Max Pacioretty? And I'm not talking about a goal scoring offensive player. I'm talking about, I think they have enough offense. I think the idea with Burns and Pacioretty was to add more size to their group and add more size into the blue line and the forward group. So, you know, short term, can they find somebody? You know, you can absolutely look at Patrick Kane for certain. I believe that Bo Horvat would be a really nice fit for the Carolina Hurricanes. They got a lot of prospects, and each team will evaluate those prospects differently. But if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, somebody that can come in and give you the play of Bo Horvat. He's fast, he's hard, he plays just like Rod Brind'Amour has his team playing. So that's where I'd be looking at. And at the same time, if there's an opportunity to add some offense, I think it'll be difficult to add somebody with the same bulk as Pacioretty, but you know that doesn't mean it can happen. But that's where I'd be looking at if I were the Carolina Hurricanes.
You mentioned Bo Horvat. What do you make of the Kuzmenko signing? I've seen some people say, "Well, what are they doing? They should just have traded him at the deadline." I actually don't mind the signing, Craig. You know, it's some people say, well, why did you only do it 2 years? I'm like, well, in 2 years, if they're not improved, well, then you can trade him at the deadline. And if he's playing well, you'll get something for him then. Like, I think this trade means that Horvat for sure isn't coming back, and likely Brock Besser is getting traded in the summer.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jason. And I think that, you know, they have salary cap challenges. They need a blue line that they have to add better personnel to. So, you know, Bo Horvat, as an unrestricted free agent, you know, Jim Rutherford has been very clear, you know, we just can't find a way to make an offer that will satisfy him. Okay, well, I mean, I think the writing's on the wall. So, you know, you look at what you can do in trading Bo Horvat, and then you also know that you're not left short, you know, trying to find that exact player. I mean, Kuzmenko is on track to score 30 goals. That's not easy to do in this league. And at $5.5 million average, I think that's a good contract. And, you know, you're right. If they don't improve in the next 2 years, you get to the trade deadline in 2025, and if he's still performing, you can move him along. And I think that becomes part of the calculation in not only signing him, but in what they're going to try to do going forward, because Horvat at if he's $7 million and Kuzmenko at $5.5 million, the math doesn't start to work unless you want to continue along the line of not improving your blue line, and then you'll just be at the bottom of the league for the years to come.
Joined by Craig Button talking all things NHL. We just saw the Columbus Blue Jackets roll through Edmonton and actually, you know, playing not bad right now. And they took a point, I guess, from the Oilers the other night. When you look at that team, is there one, in my mind, there's one area they're really weak in. Is there an area that, like, is it a D, wingers, centers? What do you see, goaltender? What do you think they're really missing, Craig, that they could really add?
Well, I feel like I'm being put on the spot because you look at an area that, not on the spot, I don't say this in a negative way, Jason, but, yeah, you know, you look at the team, right, and they have injuries, right? Like, they have a lot of injuries.
Right.
They don't have a number one center. They have Boone Jenner gives you everything. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you have Laine and Goudreau who can drive play on their own. But, you know, they got some younger players, but they don't have that guy that can drive play specifically for those two players. And you look at, any team to have success and to compete and to be better, you need a centerman that can carry that type of play. You know, it's interesting. I've been asked lots over the last little while with Johnny Goudreau coming back to Calgary earlier this week. And, you know, was it a loss for him going? And you can't predict the future in a lot of ways, but if the Columbus Blue Jackets somehow ended up with the first overall pick, geez, that could end up being a huge win for Johnny Goudreau and Patrick Laine and Connor Bedard being their centerman, couldn't it?
Oh, nice landing spot. And I didn't mean to, like, kind of say, make you put on the spot.
No, I didn't. And that's why I corrected myself, Jason. I didn't word it right. That was on me.
But when I look at it, like, I look at that team, like, you know, they do have injuries. And like, I like Boone Jenner. I don't like him as a first-line center. You know, and they've got Cole Sillinger, who's young, you know, who's going to come up. And, you know, I don't know if they can get Bedard or not. But I think that those guys you mentioned, Laine and Goudreau, need an upgrade at center. And then, quite frankly, they'll upgrade every other center behind him because that guy, whoever that is, will be bumped down, right? So, you know, they worked a lot harder. They were better than I thought, but I just think that their centers are, that's a big issue when you've invested that much on the wings.
I totally agree. And you know what? When you don't have that centerman in the ice that can distribute and make plays and draw the attention of opponents and open their play up, it becomes harder for them to be successful. You know, I think Ken Johnson's a center. I know they have him playing the wing. And, you know, Ken Johnson in a lot of ways reminds me, because he's got a similar style to Trevor Zegras, and they put Trevor on the wing, and now he's in the middle. And, you know, I think that's where he goes. So if you look at the Anaheim Ducks, and they have Zegras, and then they drafted McTavish, that's a pretty good, you know, top two centerman. You know, Ken Johnson, you get in the middle, and even if you don't get Bedard, and let's just say they pick in the top three, they have a great opportunity now to go and look at Adam Fantilli, a center, and Leo Carlson, a center from Sweden. So they might be, you know, Bedard, we know what he is, but Fantilli and Carlson are real top-notch prospects. So, you know, they might be, you know, even not winning the lottery, might give them an opportunity to bolster and strengthen that center ice position. And because to your point, you need to build that part of your team out to be successful.
Craig Button joins us at Sports Theater TSN 1260. Craig, what would you do if you're Ron Francis? Do you feel like you need to add something because your team's been this good, or you just stay the course?
Like you know, it's gotten pretty tight in the Pacific Division now. You know, what was there, 6 points separating, you know, 1 to 5? We know that 3 teams are clearly out of it. And, you know, so I think that for the Seattle Kraken, you know, making the playoffs would be a significant accomplishment, and they're close. So I think if you can, you know, they have some draft picks. They have a team that plays hard, that's quick and fast. You know, the goaltending can be good, and then it cannot be good. I think if he can add to his team and strengthen his team in any area, I'll say that in any area, I think it would be something that would bolster their chances for making the playoffs and thus really help them, you know, really bolster their place, as a team moving in the right direction. And, you know, hey, coming in following the Vegas Golden Knights as an expansion team, that was an impossible task to ask anybody to replicate that. But I think if they can, you know, be in the playoffs in their second year, and Ronnie can give it a boost and give it a little more heft, I think that would be a real positive thing for the Seattle Kraken.
Greg, great stuff, my man. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, we will. You guys have a great weekend also.